700 years before Jesus' birth, the prophet Isaiah spoke from divine revelation that Jesus would be anointed. That is what Jesus' title, Christ, means. Christ, like the Old Testament term Messiah, means the anointed one. Jesus was not the only one anointed for God's purposes. Many in the Old Testament were anointed with oil for the task of being a prophet, a priest, or a king. What is significant is that Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit to fill all three positions: prophet, priest, and king. 700 years is a long time. It is several generations of us human beings. Most things will be forgotten in that length of time. Going from Genesis to Exodus, a few generations passed, and the new Pharaoh no longer remembered Jesus' interpretations of his predecessor's dreams. How many things from 700 years ago do you know and remember from your history classes? To put this in perspective, Luther was 500 years ago. So what happened 200 years before that? I'm willing to guess that unless you're a history buff or a history minor or major, you probably don't remember what happened 700 years ago, if you were even taught. So how about things happening 700 years from now? Marvel's Avengers, the Justice League, Star Wars. These films are popular right now, but will they even be remembered in 700 years? What will be remembered about us in the future? Yeah, the prophecies in Isaiah were not only remembered, but even fulfilled 700 years after they were prophesied in the book of Isaiah. Jesus would be born to be the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one of God. As we look forward to the coming of Jesus this Advent season, it is beneficial to look to the past, to the Old Testament prophecies that he would fulfill, including this one about being the anointed one. Right at the start, we read in this section of Isaiah that it is in the first person. But the one who is doing the speaking is not Isaiah himself. It is Jesus speaking through him. He says through Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified." Here Jesus speaks of his anointing with the Holy Spirit. Last week we heard how Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River, and the Spirit descended upon him like a dove. Indeed, the Spirit descended and alighted on Jesus to anoint him for God's purposes. Here in Isaiah, Jesus makes it clear what that purpose would be: to be the prophet of God, to be the one bringing the good news to the poor, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Jesus would be coming as the Messiah at just the right time. He'd be coming to release those bound in sin, those afflicted by their state of being sinners. That was part of the very message Jesus would be sharing in his ministry as God's prophet. He was anointed to be the one who would proclaim the year of the Lord's favor to those in that bondage. He would come to do this not for himself, but for all sinners. He would come for you. He would come to release you from your bondage to sin. Today it is still his message that is preached from this pulpit, and in every pulpit throughout the world which faithfully and properly preaches Jesus' message. It is not the message of the preacher, for he is only the messenger. It is Jesus' word which continues to be proclaimed. He says, they shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrong. I will faithfully give them the recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their offspring shall be known among the nations, and their descendants in the midst of the peoples. All who see them shall acknowledge them, that they are an offspring the Lord has blessed. These middle verses are about the life of a redeemed Christian. Those who have heard the good news of the gospel will be able to build up the ancient ruins and raise up the former devastations. Now here Jesus is not talking literally. He is talking metaphorically. The ancient ruins and the devastations are other sinful human beings. As we share the gospel, we build up those around us, restoring them to their former glory. The glory that we human beings had before the fall into sin in Genesis chapter 3. But again, the message that we proclaim is not ours. It is not yours that you might boast. The message belongs to our Lord Jesus, the Messiah who is to come and who spoke as the anointed prophet that Isaiah proclaimed years before. The word that brings sinners out of the bondage of their sin is never ours. It is never the words of the pastor speaking them that it is because a pastor spoke this way or that way. Nowhere in Scripture does it say that if a pastor is just charismatic enough, he will win many sinners. It says quite the opposite, actually. Paul says in his first letter to the Corinthians, I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. We impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. Paul here claimed to be weak, fearful, and trembling. Yet he did not attempt to be clever when proclaiming Jesus' word. He declared that he and the apostles imparted the secret and hidden wisdom of God, the gospel, the good news, which God had decreed before the ages. Paul had been called on the road to Damascus by Christ Jesus himself, but it was not to proclaim his own words, but Jesus' words to the Gentiles. Today, every faithful pastor does the same. Jesus' words continue. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to sprout up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to sprout up before all the nations. Just as Jesus was anointed for the proclamation of God's word, the gospel, to those bound in their sin, you and I have been clothed for continuing this work. You and I have received the robe of righteousness at our baptism. In the hearing of his word, we have also received the Holy Spirit. Jesus would be anointed with the Holy Spirit at his baptism to proclaim liberty to the captives. And we have been given the same Spirit to continue his proclamation. It is true that pastors are set apart for their work for the public ministry with the laying on of hands and the call from God through a congregation. Yet that does not mean that it's only pastors who proclaim God's word. All of us have received Jesus' robe of righteousness and the Spirit at our baptism. This is not to say that there is no need for pastors, as though anyone could preach any time he or she wished. And it is not to say that only pastors may speak God's word. We are the church with a capital C. We work together for the building up of the body of Christ. And we do that through the spreading of Jesus' word, that gospel good news, that he, the very one who spoke to Isaiah 700 years before his coming, came 2,000 years ago to free us from our sins, and that he will be coming again. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds ever faithful unto life everlasting. Amen.